Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to A Time for Justice. A Time for Justice is a show on the Elevated Places Network, and we welcome you. My name is Sister Pamela Muhammad, and I am your host. As you know, A Time for Justice is a show that discusses legal and current events in a roundtable discussion of legal minds. We discuss this country's centuries-long failure to apply, uphold, and enforce the laws, and the overall failures of the legal system to give justice, and the negative impacts these failures have had on Black people and their Black families. Ultimately, we want fair dealing, we want justice under the law, but all too often this is not the actions that we see. Our guest tonight will not make those excuses for racist conduct that actually legally distracts us. This is the conduct that we often see. And again, it's a distraction from the truth, which is the path to justice and equal protection. So let's talk about just, fair, and equitable solutions, which are in the best interest of the people. Let's remove the distractions. Again, my name is Sister Pamela Muhammad, and I am your host. I am an attorney, and we welcome you to A Time for Justice. Tonight's show is entitled Knowing Your Rights and Making Our Communities Decent and Safe. So we're going to talk about two topics. We're going to talk about what I like to do sometimes in town hall meetings, where we discuss various ways that the Black community and people of color and poor people can really get educated and empowered. And so we have a really, really special guest tonight. This is such a honor, actually, to have someone. He's not an attorney, but he is a very, very well-known and active person in our community and all over this country. So I'm going to go ahead once again. Our title is Knowing Your Rights and also Making Our Communities Decent and Safe Places to Live. So I'm going to go ahead and open up our mic and introduce Captain Emeritus Dennis Muhammad. Many of you all know Brother Captain Emeritus Dennis Muhammad. This brother, you know, and he gave me some words about him, so let me go ahead and read it. Many in law enforcement and public safety regard Captain Dennis Muhammad as a leading authority and much sought-after speaker on bridging the gap between community and law enforcement in the area of cultural diversity and racial profile training. His enthusiasm helps him to quickly connect with people and make an impact on them to take action. Brother Captain Muhammad has over 35 years of experience as a law enforcement consultant, public safety, and executive protection. His career just expands over so much. He's worked with training over 15 police departments in cultural diversity. He's worked with 25 schools under the Safe School Healthy Initiative, which include over 2,000 students being taught how to obey and respect authority. Brother Captain Dennis Muhammad is the founder of the At One in Nota initiative. Brother Captain Muhammad is also the founder of the Peacekeepers Global Initiative, which teaches citizens whose communities are plagued by gun violence and crime to patrol their neighborhood along with law enforcement. Brother Captain Muhammad is a chief of the Bedford-Stuy Volunteer Ambulance Corps in Brooklyn, New York. Brother Captain Muhammad has worked with just various departments all over the country, and I'm going to let him tell us more about that. Brother Captain Muhammad has worked with rap mogul and founder of Def Jam Records, Russell Simmons, as his chief security consultant. And so as we go on, we talk about how he's an advisor and a consultant for the 10,000 Men Called to Action with the help of community leaders. And this was in Philadelphia. It was one of the largest gathering of men called to action for peace in the city of Philadelphia. Brother Captain Muhammad has hosted many barbershop talks to create dialogue for today's youth, men and women, to discuss the increase concerning youth gun violence, police beatings, and controversial shootings of unarmed black men, and economic empowerment that will create jobs and opportunities, as well as mass voter registration from the barbershop. So I'm going to go ahead and open up Brother Captain Emeritus Dennis Muhammad. And I want to make sure that he does press the number one to get in the host queue. I do believe that Brother Dennis is here. I just want to make sure that he presses the number one to get in the host queue so I can open up his mic. Let me see. Brother Dennis. Is this Brother Captain Dennis Muhammad? Okay. I'm going to mute that. I do believe he'll be with us shortly, and I want to go on to the next person. Let me see. I think, let me make sure. Brother Captain Dennis.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can. Yes, sir. I apologize for that. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam. How you doing, dear sister?
I am fine. Praises be to Allah. Thank you, sir. It's such an honor and privilege to have you on the show.
Oh, sister, the honor is mine. I was listening to you read this guy. I don't know who you was talking about, but doggone, he had an impressive by you. I just want to meet that fella.
Yes, sir. Well, that is you, and we are so looking forward to hearing from you. Yes, sir, we are so looking forward to hearing from you. I'm going to go ahead and open up the mic for our two other guests, and this brother is Brother Deshaun Muhammad. Brother Deshaun actually has been a practicing attorney since 2001. Brother Deshaun is located out of the state of Tennessee. And he's a former Chancery Court Special Master for Shelby County. He's tried many cases, criminal and civil, and he's got a passion for cases involving children and families. He's also running for judge in Tennessee, so that's another thing we're going to talk about. But Brother Deshaun has been an attorney for the Tennessee Department of Children's Services, working with delinquency cases, child abuse, and all aspects of family law. He's a husband and a father of a toddler. Brother Deshaun graduated out of Rusk College, went to law school at Drake University, and he works for the law office of Juan T. Williams. So let me go ahead and open up Brother Deshaun's mic. And Brother Deshaun.
As-salamu alaykum, sister.
Well, alaykum salam, Brother Deshaun. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'll tell you, I was kind of sad when you had trouble getting Brother Dennis. I'm like, I just want to listen. I don't know any of the things you talked about, and I still know Brother Dennis.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir. We are honored to have Brother Dennis with us tonight. Let me go right. But I'm very honored to have you as well, Attorney Deshaun.
Thank
and
you,
I know you're doing lots of work in Tennessee, working with families, and this is one of our passions. So, you know, we just want you to keep up the good work as well. So we have Sister Kiana. Yes, sir. Sister Kiana is an attorney also, and Sister Kiana is an attorney here in Houston. She's a child welfare law specialist and mediator, respected family practitioner. Sister Kiana graduated from the Whittier Law School, and in 2010, she became a mediator. In 2019, and this is one of the things, because we wanted to bring on people who have some of the skills and interests like Brother Captain Dennis in terms of having a passion of working with our people. And so Sister Kiana actually has the Man's Law Office and Atonement Dispute Resolution Center, along with being a practitioner. So we thought that was very important, you know, along with her background in education, children's rights. You know, she is definitely someone who I think, you know, will make a real great addition to this conversation. She also has she's a founding member of a nonprofit entitled Queendom Come, and that's established for the empowerment of women and girls. So let me go ahead. I did shorten Sister Kiana's wonderful bio as well, but I wanted her to come right on, and we can get right into this program. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Kiana.
Wa alaykum salam. How are you, sister?
I am fine. Praises be to Allah. Thank you so much for coming and joining us, and I look forward to you in this conversation. So going right back to our brother, Captain Dennis Muhammad, Captain Emeritus Dennis Muhammad. I mentioned that you are the founder of the Peacekeepers Global Initiative, as well as ENOTA, which is an organization also in the community, educating neighborhoods to obey those in authority. So can you tell us, Brother Captain Dennis, something about your background, how you started this work, and, you know, the importance in this, especially in this time, of working with this particular initiative? Tell us about the initiatives, please.
Thank you so much. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, we give him honor, we give him praise. We thank him for coming to us and helping to raise among us the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Farrakhan. We just celebrated 92 years of independence that was given to us by this great man, Master Farrakhan Muhammad. It's in their names that I greet you, my beautiful brothers and sisters, most certainly our two attorneys. Y'all got me intimidated in the greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum. You know, sister, asked me to give some of my history, and I don't think we have enough time on this show for me to get started, but in a short brief, we started the ENOTA project in 1991. It was the beginning of me going into New York City, and the Honorable Minister Farrakhan appointed me as the captain of Mosque number 77, and also I was appointed East Coast Regional Captain. It was there that the Honorable Minister Farrakhan said to me, he says, Brother Dennis, I would like for you to establish a rapport with the police department in New York. We had not had in 20 years since the horrible, horrific killing of this police officer, DeGado, who was killed when they stormed the mosque in 1972 when the Honorable Minister Farrakhan was the minister of Mosque number 7. This police officer from the 2A precinct lost his life, but he did not lose his life at our hands. He lost his life at the hands of another fellow officer, so he was killed under friendly fire. But we had that laid at our doorstep that it was the Muslims, the Nation of Islam, that killed their police officer. So the minister asked me. Now, I was no more fonder of the police than any black man. I'm like, well, Brother Minister, why you want me to kind of deal with the police? I ain't too fond about them. Well, anyway, I've always been a soldier, and I hear and I obey. And I went into the 2A precinct in 1991-92, and for the first time addressed the men and women who lost that officer. We, the Muslims, had not talked to them in 20 years. And so Allah gave me guidance from the minister. And it was that day, it was a very, very monumental day that we won over the men and women in law enforcement and convinced them. Only did the Honorable Minister Farrakhan told me to tell them that the loss of that officer's life was a great loss and that we would hope that that would never happen again, and that's why we need to bridge the gap. I followed his instructions to the T, and after I left that, oh, it was an unpleasant audience. I don't know if you ever seen what 75 police officers looked like early in the morning, and they didn't have their coffee. Oh, it was an intimidating sight. But God blessed me, and from that day, I started ENOTA because I knew that if we were going to bridge the gap with the law enforcement community, we have to teach our people to respect authority too. And you know, Sister Pamela, that we have a law that says we obey those in authority over us as long as it does not conflict with our religion. That's why we don't have no Muslims on Monday and going to their parents going to the juvenile detention center to bail their children out of jail. We don't have Muslim children in jail because what? We're taught to obey those in authority. So I wanted to teach that to the lost found community, to teach our young brothers and sisters, do not challenge authority. Respect authority. And if you respect yourself and respect authority, you will not be in conflict with them. So I created ENOTA, educating neighborhoods to obey those in authority. And God has blessed us to train young men all around this country and with AT1. That was the beginning of law enforcement, AT1, AT-ONE, coming from the Million Man March. It was called the Day of Atonement. If you look at the word AT1, it means atone if you take the dash out. So I didn't want to call it atone. I'm trying to get these police officers to atone for all the black people heads they done bust open and killed. So I didn't call it a tone. I call it at one. I snuck it in on them. Well, what does at one mean? At one's training offered for neighborhood enforcement. That's what it means. We're giving law enforcement an alternative. Use a different kind of tactics as you come in our community. An alternative for how you enforce law in the black community. So we call it at one. And then again, we're trying to make them at one with the community. And the last that you asked me, the peacekeepers. When I realized, the minister said it, I'm laughing because I remember the conversation when the minister said this to me. He said, Brother Dennis, you can't reform the devil, which was like he was thinking I'm trying to reform the police officer. I knew I couldn't reform him. And I said, well, I know, Brother Dennis, I'm not trying to reform the devil, but even you could train a dog. So I'm thinking, let me train him, not reform him. But anyway, but I realized that we cannot have a proper relationship with law enforcement until the community takes responsibility for itself. So I had started prison. The reason why, this sister, is because everybody is not going to join the Nation of Islam. Let's face it. Everybody ain't going to be an MCT. Everybody ain't going to be an FYI. And everybody ain't going to be a Muslim. You know, we got Muslims don't want to be Muslims. So what do we do? Well, we take the training that made you the MGT that you are. We take the training that made Captain Dennis the man that he is, and we hold it to ourselves, and we don't give it to our lost people because they don't come through the ranks. I had a problem with that. So what I did, I started the peacekeepers, and I gave them the very training in that class. I just watered it down a little bit. I gave them baby dose. But it was to get them out in the community and patrol their own community. And guess what, Sister Pamela? I realized that the greatest thing that transcends religion, the greatest thing that transcends race, the greatest thing that transcends gender, the greatest thing that transcends politics or one social is peace. Peace. It is the common denominator. And that's why we call it the peacekeepers. And we have our slogan, I am present for peace. So with that said, I'm through, sister. You know, I'm long with it. I hope I answered the question.
Oh, no, that was wonderful. Thank you so much. Because as our title, tonight's show, you know, we're speaking on the subject of making our own communities decent and safe places to live. So throughout the nation, you know, we are charged, you know, from 2015 with going into our communities. And as you so beautifully put your initiative, it being one to teach self-love, to being one to teach people how to take care of their own communities. And so I think that's beautiful, because as we were also saying in our title tonight, we talk about knowing your rights. And on this show, A Time for Justice, attorneys oftentimes come and join the community, and we talk about giving our people information that is telling them about their legal rights, you know, protection, education, so you can fight against some of the injustice. Because we are going to go into the injustices when the police officers aren't coming into our communities with respect and compassion, because we've seen this recently with this recent shooting of this young man in Ohio. So we definitely have to talk about it. But, you know, you do such a great work. I wanted you to talk to us about how we can help ourselves, because, as you say, as I saw on your Facebook page, you mentioned how to do nothing is not an option. And when we're looking at some of this senseless gun violence that's going on in our community, we're going to talk about that first. Can we talk about some of the concerns that you're raising and how you think we all need to be looking at this problem with some of the senseless gun violence that in our communities?
Are you addressing that to me, Sister Pamela?
Yes, sir. I am, Brother Dennis. I am.
Okay. I let me say this. I am so honored that within our nation we have great attorneys. The sad part is our people really don't know their rights.
Mm.
I've learned over the many years that we have parents that teach our youth that they have the right to challenge police authority, and I think that is so wrong. Because one of the mindsets that I learned about law enforcement, they are a very arrogant agency. They're very cynical. And they hate the fact that even if they pulled you over, they don't even like you even asking them why. Isn't that crazy? They even have a problem with you saying, "Officer, why did you pull me over?" He gets upset about that. His attitude becomes, "What do you think? I ain't had nothing else better to do than to pull you over?" So the confrontation begins with why. I know that because I trained these guys 35 years. And every time Captain D had to go in and train law enforcement, it ain't never been under the best circumstance. They bring me in after it's been controversy. They done beat somebody, shot somebody. And that's the worst time to ever go in and train any police department under a crisis. I hate that because now they reject training because it becomes a political issue. They're not there because they really want to change their condition. They're there because their department head had been mandatory them to be there, and they resent that. So sometimes if you're not good at what you do and going among them, you lose them, and it'd be a waste of time. Now, I get paid handsomely, but I'm not trying to get money. I'm trying to correct their thinking. That's what I'm trying. I don't want whatever I bring to the table not be accepted. So I'm very cautious about going into departments under controversy, because one of the things about law enforcement, it kind of reminds me of the Fruit of Islam. They have a chain of command too. And in that chain of command, one of the things about them, when they move up in rank, you're only, once you become a chief, that's it. You don't go back down. So when the chief, when the police officer becomes a chief, he becomes more political. And when he becomes more political, he becomes detached from the rank of file cop. So now the rank of file have a problem with the chief, because the chief is now what? He's doing the bidding of the mayor. He's doing the bidding of city council. He's doing the bidding of the community. He's no longer looking at the interest of his fellow officer, and that become a problem right there. So right in the department, you've got conflict. So we have a problem. We have a department that has internal conflict, You have a police department that already has the same. Do you know in law enforcement there's a high rate of suicide? Do you know in law enforcement there's a high rate of legal prescription abuse of drugs? Do you know in law enforcement there's a high rate of divorce? There's a high rate of spousal abuse? There's a high rate of alcoholism? They have suffered from the same problems the community suffered from, but we don't see them as human beings. So you got these people coming into our community with social problems, the same mental issues that we got, that already to try to solve a problem of a community that got social problems and mental issues. Oh, that is a daggone recipe for disaster.
Yes,
so how do we change that? How do we make our community a safe and decent place to live as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has given to us? You can't make a community a safe and decent place to live if your home is not a safe and decent place to live. It's starting your home.
Right.
Look in your home. If you got madness in your home, how are you going to have safe and decent community and you don't have a safe and decent decent home? Look at our home. 85% of the community, 85% of the home is headed by a single parent, Sister Pamela. 85%.
Yes.
There's no men in the home. And that home is ruled by women. So you're looking at the young men that's coming from under the tutelage of women. These young men are saying they're gay, but they don't have a masculine man image in front of them that they can learn how to be a man. So they come into the community with no love. But we don't understand that. So we want to talk about make your community. We have a study guide says self-improvement is the basis of community development. I agree. But self-improvement is the base of community of home development. Self-improvement is the basis of home development. Self-improvement is the basis of home development. If you don't develop the home, the home don't come from the community. The community come from the home. If we don't address the issue, and that's what I like about the teaching. That's what I like about the Honorable Minister Farrakhan. The reality of our homes, how to be a good man, how to be a good father. And what do? Were you talking about what's happening in the streets with gun violence? Let me tell you, I was on a talk show this morning. I heard this brother say, yeah, well, see, man, all these guns, these young boys, I'm going to give me a gun. So you add to the gun violence. We add to the gun culture. Everybody got a gun, but guess who? But us members in the Nation of Islam. Oh, I love the leader who told us
to
take them out of the home. We're the only ones don't carry guns. Don't tell nobody that. They may want to challenge us. But that don't mean I ain't got a Louisville slugger in my daggone bedroom. Now you come in, I'm going to play Batman on you. We don't have guns. So when they talk about we need a new gun laws, we need a new legislation, the Muslims ain't got a dog in that fight. You talking about guns, son, but I don't need one. Because I got Master Farrakhan Muhammad, the God. Not one Muslim. Have we read have died of gun violence? Why? You live by the gun, you die by the gun. And so we thank the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, who told us, if you got to follow me, get rid of the gun. Sister Pamela, everybody know that I'm part of the F team. Yes, I'm very proud. Not the E team. Let's get it perfectly clear. The E team supported the F team. Since y'all always wanted, no. I love my F. We was Farrakhan team. That's what the F stands for. E stands for escort. Now let me share this with you. We moved the Honorable Minister Farrakhan around this world. I can't even count how many times. Do you hear me? And we never so much carried a penknife. And nothing came and no harm to the Honorable Minister Farrakhan that to this day he could sit there 89 years old and nobody ever touched him. Why? Why should we be successful in doing that? Because people knew that we weren't no secret service, because our service definitely was not secret. But you can look in our face and know that we secured that man out of love. you had a better chance of smacking a bear in the middle of a hibernation and survive that than to put your hands on Minister Farrakhan. So we've had to take that training to the street. What good is not giving that training? So we came up with the leader told us about the 10,000 fielders. Have we moved out on it? We want to give a great salute to Brother Sharif in Atlanta, Georgia, who made a move on the 10,000 fielders. We want to give a great shout out to Brother Willie in New Orleans. He is the national trainer of conflict resolution. But do we call him when we need to settle beefs? As if the nation and we don't have no beefs within our ways. We got beefs now. And we do need sometimes conflict resolution. So we got a slogan, Sister Pamela, squash the beef before the grief. So we are happy, and I want to say, and I want to hear from our attorneys, because there's no question, we're going into Akron, Ohio, Saturday. I'm in Columbus. You know, I mean, this is Ohio. I'm 2 hours from Akron. We're going up, and I'm taking all my peacekeepers in the orange. I got peacekeeper shirts I'm going to be giving to the brothers of the community. I really was trying to get a shirt printed up. It was called Black Lives Don't Matter. Now, there may have been a problem with a lot of the Black Lives Matter crew, but I'm tired of that. Let's just keep it 100. Black lives don't matter. It don't matter to them, and it don't matter. So I figured we do some reverse psychology. Black lives matter. But that, it ain't working. It ain't working. Well, let's try Black Lives Don't Matter. Let's see what kind of man, everybody be wearing that shirt when if I took it up to Akron. They'd be happy to put it because it makes sense. We're saying to them, it's clear that Black lives don't matter to y'all. It's very clear. So we're going up to Akron. I'm excited. I'm asking every black man, if you want to do something, stop making excuses. Join me in Akron, Ohio. Put on this shirt. I'm giving everybody a shirt. I'm going to have so many shirts on there. And guess what's on the back of the shirt? It has on the back of the shirt, Black Man on Duty. Whoa. Mm. Guess what, Sister Pam? I got to send you yours, and I got to send you yours. We have one that says Black Mothers on Duty. So we got Black Man on Duty shirts, and we got Black Mothers on Duty. And we want to go out there and hand them out to everybody in Akron. We're going to walk, and we're going to let everybody know the Black Man is back. And he's on duty. I hope I ain't talked too long. You know, they always said Captain Dennis ain't nothing but a frustrated Baptist preacher. All right.
Oh, no, we'd love it. Thank you so much for that. So as you're talking about going to Akron, we want to make sure that our listeners and our panel, we all know that our brother Jalen Walker, a 25-year-old unarmed black man, was murdered in Akron. He was shot at least 60 times by 8 officers following a vehicle chase, and words cannot bring that excessive force where this man was shot. 90 rounds of ammunition is what the Final Call article by Brother William P. Muhammad is reporting in his article entitled Police Barbarianism in the U.S. Again. You know, so we're going to get back to that. I want to come back to that, but I do want to give the lawyers a chance to speak on what, all of that beautiful conversation that you raised about helping our people and securing our people and by teaching, because you have a subject called Barbershop Talks I thought was interesting, and you talk about helping people. You talk about the importance of dialogue. We defend our people. So when you're talking about some of the conditions in these communities, in these homes, Sister Kiana can talk to us about, and Brother Deshaun can talk to us about the homes and the families. So Brother Deshaun, I know you're running for office, and one of the things about, you know, knowing our rights and protecting our young people, their families, because we find them where they are. You know, and of course, we're going to talk later about they still don't, it's no right for them to be mistreated and brutalized and attacked and murdered as this brother Jalen Walker was. But Brother Deshaun, why don't you, you know, kind of give a perspective on some of what we've heard Brother Dennis say thus far.
I of course, agree with everything Brother Dennis was saying. And, I mean, my perspective is, you know, I'm running for this office, and I'm running for it for the same reason that brother is. we have a teaching that applies to every aspect of human life. And I believe that, you know, I believe that if we apply it to our children, if we apply it to families from government down, then we could be successful. We can actually make some of these changes. He was talking about the thing that's universal is peace. And I found that when I'm talking to people about the things that I want to do, which isn't always the things that everybody agrees with me about doing, what I can say is that it will create peace, because so many people want us to just lock up our children. And they think that that's going to be the solution. And my argument is that if we lock up all the children, they're going to get out. And they're going to be better at committing crimes, and we don't have to lock them back up. And they're going to get out, and they're going to be better at crimes until we lock them up forever. But either way, we're going to spend all the taxpayers' money. Why not give them an incentive to do something better? Why not teach them and their family something different so that they can be productive, so that they actually become homeowners, become productive members of society? You know, and when I talk about them no longer wanting to commit crimes and that the community can become more peaceful, then a lot of those who initially are looking at me like, we need to lock up all the children, they start softening, you know. And the FOI and a lot of volunteers who are helping me with campaigns, we have our campaign T-shirts, but on the back of it, it says, let's take responsibility to rebuild our communities. And that's what we're essentially trying to do. Is even when I talk to people about what I want to do in this campaign, when I'm talking to them, I'm also talking about the fact that we can no longer be afraid of our children. We have to talk to them. We have to treat them like people and talk to them, because if any one of us let our children just go free and we're afraid of them, they're going to do everything. Brother was saying that, you know, these children don't have a male figure in their home, but there are males in the community. And we have to be fathers to the whole community, not just to our own home, because otherwise we're going to keep getting – I had a high school teacher who used to always say, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. And that's kind of where we are. We either step up to make our communities a safe place to live, or we continue to suffer the same fate. And it's in our hands. And that's the crux of what I'm trying to build with this campaign. Is I think if we take over this juvenile court system, because Shelby County is unique in that the Shelby County juvenile court judge, and Shelby County includes Memphis, is actually over the entire juvenile justice system. So figure a million people in the county, and one person is over all of the delinquency, all of the child abuse and neglect, all of the custody cases that don't involve a marriage, all the visitation cases that aren't involving a marriage, and all the child support that's not involved in a marriage, and some of those that do involve a marriage. So one person is over all that, and that's what makes this race so unique. And what I'm proposing when I get in is to utilize the organizations we have in the community. We have peacekeeper groups. We have people who worked for years to try and change our community. But since the federal government came in and said, at least in my county, 95% of the people who go through the courts and 95% of the people who get locked up in juvenile court are Black, then let's use those in the Black communities that are actually devoted, committed, that have, you know, made a commitment to help our children. It's not the popular way to go, but it's the only way we're going to make a change.
Yes, they're beautiful. Thank you so much for that. And Sister Kiana, I thank you for coming on, because your work a lot of times is dealing with families and dealing with families that do have social problems, like Brother Dennis has quoted in an article on The Final Call entitled
violence, death, and destruction, America's obsessive gun culture, carnage. And he's quoted as saying, crime and violence is the direct result of unmet social needs. Any community that you see that has a high rate of unemployment, you'll find gun violence. Any community that has a high rate of drugs, alcohol addiction, you'll find gun violence. Any community where you see an influx of domestic violence, of single parent at homes, of teenage pregnancies, and all that poverty. He said these are all social problems that cause gun violence, so or crime. And so we see in the courts, the family courts where you work with Children's Protective Services many times, and how they come after our children, and there's just an onslaught to further attack, because we know they threw the drugs in the community to begin with now, and we still have to talk about Jalen Walker, our brother who was shot 90 times or shot at 90 times. So there's a lot of fault from this systemic racism since we were brought here, right, Brother Dennis, from slavery. However, Sister Kiana, you know, I know you've got some ideas, and you started a conflict resolution center at your law office for part of this purpose of helping our community. So talk to us about some of what you see, some of what you've heard.
It's so much that Brother Dennis has brought out, and the work that he does is so essential. And the work that we all are trying to do is very important for us to focus in on really the basics, because I think that is the root of everything, which is the family. And so I think that those problems and those statistics are high as they are in our community, because there has been a strategic attack on our families. We have been totally dismantled, and we have to build on less than what we have seen with other communities. We don't have a stable foundation. And so when your foundation is not stable, then it's very difficult to move higher or to elevate when you can't grow because you have a weak foundation. And so I believe that the attack on our families is where we have to start, is where we need to start in the work. And those of us with the knowledge must take the knowledge to our people and help to make our communities decent and safe places to live. And when the brothers were speaking, I was listening at just the whole idea of it being a mindset shift that has to occur in our community, and also how fear is used so much with us as a people, that we are now afraid of our own people, that we are afraid of our children, where we're saying lock our children up. But that is something that is a tactic, and we are definitely at war. And if we are not able to see it as it is, then I think we get distracted and everything get diluted, because our baby was shot 80 times and I don't give a damn what he did. I don't even like to talk about, oh, it was just a traffic stop, or if it was this. I don't even get into the minutia of that conversation,
that's right,
because that's not important. Because once Brother Dennis said it is that sometimes the officers and, you know, the community has this rift in this relationship because we don't see the officers as human. America, white racism doesn't see us as human.
That's
and
right.
So we have to teach people of our humanity before we can even get justice. And so I think that we must always always start at the root and not, you know, just hang on these branches, because our babies are as special and important as everybody else, and they walk away, you know, from these encounters with little to no issues, and we bury our babies, you know, and our husbands and our women now, to the point that it's at an alarming rate. And it goes back to our family has been disunited and disconnected. And so we must start there. And it is self-preservation at this point that we have to have as a people. And in my effort in trying to establish a place where we start the rebuild, we start the reconnection in our community of finding that love back between us for one another, is why I thought the establishment of the Atonement and Mediation Center in the Black community was necessary. It's also, I've seen a practice for people with higher means and the ability to have money and power to prevail in litigation and to be able to, you know, to get certain outcomes. And I also wanted our people to have access to justice, to have access to a way to settle our disputes and be empowered so that we don't have to be at the mercy of the system. We all do great work, but the systems are what they are. And so if we give our people an opportunity to be involved in resolutions and outcomes, then I think we take back our power and we take back our family and we take back our community. And we can do it. We can solve our own problems. We can make our community safe and decent places to live. We have to empower the people to be able to do that. So the Mediation and Atonement Center is a absolute necessity in our community to be able to get back to that place where we see each other as family and that we can work through our differences, and we are able to now combat some of these things that are coming towards us and not this inner conflict where we're fighting each other. So we can eliminate this conflict so we can move on. Because like I said, we're at war. We don't have time to be going back and forth with each other. We have to get our homes in order, and we have to get our families back to where we need them to be. And so we can get this foundation stronger, and we can grow from there.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful, beautiful. Because going back to our brother Jalen Walker, the 25-year-old who was, you know, the victim of over 90 rounds of ammunition aimed at him and 60 bullets, I guess, on him. You know, the New York Times, of course, reported that state laws, and this was on another subject, this was back in 2021, about how many police traffic stops turned deadly. But what it noted is that state laws prohibit police officers from using lethal force unless they reasonably believe it's necessary to prevent imminent death or serious injury. And so, you know, we see this man running down the street, and so that's very concerning. It does not appear to be justified. You know, there were some other things, as we know, the harsher treatment of juveniles, where according to some stories, they talk about the small group of kids with multiple referrals and disproportionate youth of color are the ones, particularly young Black males. So we know we have an enemy that is really ruthless in these courts. And because we're defenders, many we do defense work most of the time, we always come down on that side. And also, Brother Dennis, I want to just quote, because we're going to open up the line. If anybody has a question or a comment, please press the number 1 to get in the host queue. Because Brother Dennis, I did take from your website, I mean, and it's actually your Facebook page where you tell us so much about what you all do, but you had quoted a Washington Post article that talked about how more than 1,040 people have been shot and killed by police in the last year. And that was according to the Washington Post. And I think it says that black Americans are shot at a disproportionate rate. We account for less than 13% of the U.S. population, but are killed by police at more than twice the rate of white. And then Hispanics are also killed at a disproportionate rate. So did you want to make any comment about this issue and give us some perspective on what you see?
Yes, ma'am. You know, I like our attorney. You did a great job, sister. You absolutely hit the nail on the head. And my brother, you know, who's running also for political office, advice to you, my brother, in the political office, you have to be very clear, and you seem to have a great understanding of that most of the politicians in our community always go to the community about what their agenda going to be when they get in office. And I think that's backwards. I think that's very, very backwards. I think if you want to get the political vote of any constituent, you have to go with their agenda. That's the reason they vote for you. If we keep coming with our agenda, well, man, that's your agenda. I want to know, man, what you're going to do about the illegal guns on the street. That's what I want to send you down to the legislators and then fight for. Not what you want to do. I know what you want to do. And we have to be very clear, because black people are beginning to be very disappointed in the political system, because politicians always want to come and tell the community what they're going to do, and that's backwards. And it's the same way in law enforcement. Law enforcement always come in the black community introducing new tactics and initiatives. How are you going to come in my community and tell me what you're going to do? Why don't you ask me, Mr. Law Enforcer, what we want? And this is because we are people. You have to ask the questions, brothers and sisters, on this line. Are we talking about a community we live in, or are we talking about a community we control? I'm going to say that again. Are we talking about a community we live in, or are we talking about a community we control? There's a big, because we don't control nothing. So when we hear the slogan, make our community a safe and decent place to live, see, that's very broad. It's very broad. There have to be, you know, in the FOI, military implies, look at the key word in our training, FOI, I'm going to share that with everybody. Military implies strategies, tactics, maneuvers. Drop it behind enemy line and establish a beachhead. I'm going to say that one more time. Military lies, strategies, tactics, maneuvers. Drop it behind enemy line and establishing a beachhead. In the art of war is called the art of deception. You are to try to make your enemy thinking you're coming by land when you're really coming by air. So all of these tactics are real to a man of my caliber. They don't call me Captain D because that's something I like to be called. Every move that I have calculated and made has been based upon my training. I don't just go out there. We would never take civilians, put a shirt on them, and put them in a hostile environment without giving them training. We don't even do the FOI like that. We don't put a brother out there on the corner with the papers and tell we training, because we don't want that young man or that brother to go out there and make the grave mistakes that may cause him to lose his life. So all of the peacekeepers, they get 6 training components. Look at the training components we give them before we put them on the street. Of course, we give them the hallmark of our training, the proper handling of people. That's number one. Training number two, we teach them what we call love thyself training. You got to teach them to love themselves, man. Training number three, nonviolent crisis intervention training. We have to teach our people how to intervene in a crisis without them losing their life or coming into the crisis before it's too late. At least we know what to do if we see a crisis. We could be able to step in and eliminate the crisis. Number four, we have to teach our people CPR and first aid. We can't send them people out there in case something happens, a gun shooting somebody. They need to know life-saving skills. Our philosophy is it's better to know it and never have to use it than have to use it and don't know it. And then we teach them, of course, conflict resolution. We have to put together in every city. The leader said it. He said, I'm calling for 10,000 fearless men who's not afraid. I'm going to say that word again. I like that. Who's not afraid to step between our brothers and their gun and bring them to the table of conflict resolution. That's what the leader said, not Brother Dennis. And then the last one we must give them is self-defense training. Oh, I know everybody thinks they know how to fight. Mike Tyson used the great plug. He said, everybody has a plan until they get hit in the mouth. I love that one. Everybody get in the ring got a plan until they get hit in the mouth. Every man swear to God he know how to fight till you punch him in his eye. We have to teach not only our men self-defense, but we have to teach more of it to our women. So come up on the 28th of this month, we have our national captains and self-defense training. Man, that's the most beautiful time where the sisters go in and they put on their gi, they throwing people across the mat, the brothers. And we just learning how to fight. We have to be able to know how to defend ourselves. These are the six components that we give you. And once you complete the six components, guess what we do after that? We give you a peacekeeper's ID card. Now, what did that card do? All law enforcement that I train, they know when a peacekeeper presents that ID to them, that is a person have gone through a training to respect the authority. I have so many wonderful stories. They say, but Kevin, I was speeding one day, man, and I went to pull out my driver's license, but Kevin, but I gave him my peacekeeper ID. The man looked at me. He said, you're a peacekeeper? Yes, sir. Slow it down, partner. And you can't pull out your peacekeeper ID. You got weed coming all out the window. Your license plate's upside down. The music is crazy. And you want to pull out your peacekeeper. It don't work that way. But I'm telling you, when people have an investment, and guess what, dear sister? When we say make our community a safe and decent place to live, we're not talking about the whole community. We always want to go in and make the worst community. Let's go in. I don't deal with the worst no more. You know why? Every bad neighborhood was once a good neighborhood. I want to say that every bad neighborhood was once a you would say, man, this used to be a good neighborhood, man. Over here, we used to have this. Good. So why do we keep going at the worst neighborhood? Why don't we go to the good neighborhood, secure it so it don't become the worst? And I do believe that we can't make a community a safe and decent place if we're not willing to live a righteous life. That's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad put the word decent. You can have a safe, but is it decent? You can't have a safe community if the people's not decent. Let's forget. Let's talk about the word decent. We, the believers in the Nation of Islam, we are decent people. I can live in the Nation of Islam community. I can live in a community where Christians are practicing the restricted laws of Islam, practicing rights. That's a decent community. If we keep making those kind of community, then that's what we do. But to go in that crazy community, man, and trying to change, no. We ain't did it so far. We ain't going to do it because we're losing focus on something as simple as take a block, take the street you live on, knock on the people's doors, and make them peacekeepers. So that block right there, nobody going to come on that block. Dude, and then go to the next block. Now you got two blocks. And the men that's in that block, they get out in the orange and they walk their patrol the community and they tell all them, but don't bring that madness over here. And then after a while, people say, you know what, man? I want to live over there. Man, they patrol the community. What if you want to live over here? See, this is a gun-free community. Don't nobody have guns over here. And over here, we don't have no drugs over here. So if you want to live over here, then you got to abide by the rules. Now you have made a community a safe and decent place to live. We're trying to get the big pot, and we ain't even recognize, let's take a little piece at a time. And I think what we do, if we use that strategy. So what Brother Dennis is doing, I know everybody's not going to be in FY, but everybody to become a peacekeeper, look here, I got white peacekeepers, I do. I have Jewish peacekeepers, I'm sorry, I do. I have gay peacekeepers, don't get mad at me, Muslims. I'm sorry, I do. I'm not, I do. I have peacekeepers that are Christians. Peacekeepers are not Christians. I have blood that I learned that peace is a universal law. We're in the in point number 12 at the last paragraph, and it says, lastly and further, there's no God but Allah. And look here, and he will establish a universal government of peace where we what? Where we all can live. He didn't say where we the Muslims can live, where we black people can live. When Master Farah Muhammad said a universal, where we all is everybody. But you can't make room in your assembly because you got a problem. So we have established that, and that's why it is so accepted, because that's the peace key. And even if I tried it, I couldn't close it down if I tried. This thing had gone beyond, Brother Dennis. I got them in 34 cities. I have one in London, England. I have a chapter in Tobago, and I have a chapter in Trinidad. Peacekeepers, I am present for peace. But, you know, we always those Muslims. Brother Dennis, it ain't nothing but the teachers. He ain't got it. What else would I give them, knucklehead? What else do I know but the teachings? You dad right, don't give right. me. That's what I'm going to give. I'm going to give them what the minister gave to me. What is the duty of the civilized man? The lesson never said your duty is the only civilized just black people or civilized, you know, non-Muslims or Muslims. The lesson never told us the duty of the civil. What civilized? The savage. Who they may be. Our people are savages, man. And so we got to civilize them. Now, in that case, sister, dealing with our brother in Akron, I have learned that this would continue. We would continue to hear more and more of these mass shootings, of these horrific shootings, as it relates to black people of color. Why? Why? We wear the slogan Black Lives Matter when in reality it really don't matter. But it don't matter to us. Listen, sister. I lived in New York for 20 years. If you were to go into Crown Heights, if you anybody in New York, you know what I'm talking, it's the Jewish community, Crown Heights. Crown Heights is divided by Eastern Parkway. One side is us, the other side is the Jewish community. A Jewish mother can walk her child at night and nobody dare go over there. But let's rape, rob, or harass that Jewish mother. You know why? You know why? Because the Jewish community have a law. The men protect their women over there. And if you come over there with that madness, you're going to meet death. You don't see them acting the fool in the Bensonhurst. Bensonhurst is where we lost our brother. The Italian community. They killed our brother in Bensonhurst. Italians don't sell drugs in the neighborhood. They don't have prostitution in their neighborhood. Oh, they have it in ours. But you don't see the police going over there beating the Italians. You don't see the people going over there in the Jewish community beating them. Go in the Hell's Kitchen. The Irish community. Now, let's do better than that. Why don't we go to Chinatown? So crime and violence ain't everywhere. It's only in the community that don't love itself. You keep coming to a community that loves itself. That's why you don't mess with the Nation of Islam and the Muslims. You don't violate us. We love each other. We love each other so much than to give our life for one another. So the Bible said, there's no greater love hath he who's willing to lay down his life for his brother and his friend. So you can't violate a community that's in love with itself. And that's why we continue to have people come in and treat us any old kind of way, because we always on the road of self-destruction and we hating on ourselves. I hope I answered the question. Again, I'm a little long with it.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm listening to you. I want to interject and say, does anyone have a question or a comment? Please press the number one to get into the host queue. Please press the number one to get into the host queue, because again, Brother Dennis, we are defenders. Many of us as attorneys and many of our people that we represent are people who find themselves in some of these very unfortunate they haven't been cleaned up yet. You know, as you said in the aims of Islam, that's something that I saw you post too. And we got to clean up our people. And we talk about, we know the filth, the ignorance, the drunkenness. We know that. But I'm looking at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan quoted in the final call, the cause and effect of a violent society. And he says that how can the violence stop on the bottom when the violence is perpetrated by policies at the top? So when, you know, we look, as you talk about in the article, another article that you were quoted in about the poverty and the, you know, and the joblessness and the drugs and all of this, those other communities don't have those problems, you know, weren't really victimized by these plots, these government plots. And those of us who are in these criminal justice courts, you know, we're constantly seeing how our people are really deprived of rights. You know, such as this young man, Jaylen Walker, who was shot at 90 times, which, you know, is just, there's no excuse for that type of barbaric and savage behavior by people who our tax dollars pay, law enforcement. So I think what I'm hearing, I heard you talk to Brother Deshaun and his run for office, and, you know, you're out, you know, really risking yourself and sacrificing to be in those streets. You know, so I think it kind of sounds like to me that we all have roles that we play. And we as attorneys, we do have to defend people. But guess what? Sometimes our people with education and with knowing certain rights, they do get better, you know, because they haven't had the knowledge. This is something that the enemy has done to us. And this is why, also, I just got to say this real quick, and we're going to take this caller. Now, you know this is on the Elevated Places Network, so we do believe in separation as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad tells us, it is the only solution. Because as Sister Ava sometimes says, you know, as long as we live amongst white people, we're going to be under them. You know, and so these colonies that we're living in, it's just very interesting to see how these laws keep us in these conditions. But I'm going to take this caller, and I'm opening up the mic. Yes. Assalamu alaikum, 609. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a comment.
Yes, sir.
Well, I have a question.
Yes,
I have a question. For Captain Dennis.
Go right ahead.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum, Captain Dennis.
Well, this is Brother Taiwan.
Yeah, brother, how you doing, man?
I'm great, thanks, Peter. What's going
man,
on?
Anywhere you at and anywhere you're speaking, you know I gotta tune in. I don't care if I was overseas. I get the text. Yes, sir.
Is there anything you want to ask, or you just want to give me
yes,
a greeting?
Yes, Captain Dennis, we're in like orange, man. We're in like a high state of violence, man. After that last thing happened with the brother, you know, he got shot at 90 times, you know. So the question I want to ask, where do we go from here? You know, for us, all the peacekeepers, what's the next thing, or what should we be doing, you know, to make things really happen? I know we got to step it up, but still, I just wanted to know. So we can be on point, man, because it's getting real serious.
Well, thank you, Brother Taiwa. Now, you know my philosophy over the 15 years with the peacekeepers. We came up with the color orange 15 years ago. I remember a reporter asked me, well, why did you choose the color orange? And, you know, in the prisons, that's not a great color for the brothers in the joint. You know, they try to get out the orange joint, orange jumpsuit. But orange, it has so many things. The reason why I picked the color orange is because orange is the only color in the color spectrum that if mm-hmm. five people walking down the street and each one of them had a different color on, that scenery, they would blend in. You would lose the white, you would lose the black, you would lose the blue, you would lose the red. The only color that you would continue to see is orange. And it's mm-hmm. always why they have made orange cones for construction. Time you see a construction site or something under construction, yes. you see the orange cone, right? You see them orange.
Yes,
well, I thought we should be wearing orange because when you see us in orange, that means our community is under construction. That's what it means.
Right. Right.
And we are able to see the color orange. The moon, the sun is more orange than it is red. So orange also okay. represents, and I had created to represent the new color of peace. So when we was wearing the orange, they came out with that sitcom or that series, Orange is the New Black. Well, that's true. Right. We have made orange the new black. So we want to make sure if everybody know where the orange originated from, Captain D, right. we did this 15 years ago. But now, here's what I want the peacekeepers to do. When you out there in that street, there's nothing more greater to deter crime and violence than the presence of men and women of peace. We know, Brother Taiwa, that when we do our 1 hour power, you all around the nation who are peacekeepers, you could go into the worst area on the corner with Brother sagging, with Brother slinging drugs, with Brother gangbanging, and soon as you walk up on there, 5, 10 deep, 15 deep, they seem to get a sense of calmness and peace. And for some reason, they walk away. So the corner that used to be the corner of madness, now it's the corner of peace, but at least for 1 hour. And after we do that over and over every week, eventually, and you know this, we win that young man over. You have to be patient. You have to be not be judgmental. And you have to show these young people love. But the most important part, peacekeepers, you've got to be consistent. These young people don't have nothing consistent in their life. And if you go out there, Brother Taiwa, every week, rain, snow, or shine for 1 hour in the area and show love, show love, show love, eventually, you would turn that silent corner into a corner of peace. Trust me. So all I want the peacekeepers to do is to step up. Don't be out there for 1 hour now. I want you to put 2 hours of power. And with the ultimate goal, Brother Taiwa, I want to see brothers in that black man on duty. I want to see y'all walking the beat like the police used to walk in our community. But this time, we call you peace officers. When I went to women and said, oh, who's those brothers over there? Ma'am, that's the peacekeepers. But they thought, oh, they patrol from 3 to 9 at night. Oh, they want to make sure the community's safe. Oh, my God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. That's all.
Yes, sir.
Just
thank
that
you.
Simple. Thank you, Brother Tower.
Yes, sir. We have another caller. We have Sister Nichelle, and Sister Nichelle, attorney, Judge Nichelle, has a comment. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Nichelle.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me, sister?
I can hear you fine. How you doing?
All praises due to Allah. Listen, by Allah's grace and mercy, doing well. It's a beautiful panel tonight. Loved hearing from all of the presenters. Of course, Captain Dennis. This is Sister Nichelle from Mosque Number 7, Brother Arthur's wife from way back when. It's so good to hear you, brother, bringing it the way only Captain Dennis can bring it. And I appreciate the panel, Sister Attorney, and our brother there. Looking to go into the politics, but yes, sir, brother, I guess we got to be in it sometimes to win it, but we got to be careful in those circles. I just wanted to say, you know, as a judge over criminal matters, I'm seeing a lot of guns on young people. But, brother and sisters, I'm thinking that some of these young people, and I mean we're talking scholars, not just the bad boys from the corner or whatever. These are young people that are doing some great things. And so what I think I'm seeing is that they are having these weapons as a method of protection because they're looking at the sign of the times and, quite frankly, you know, these mass shootings and things along those lines are the order of the day. And I'm thinking people are doing it to keep themselves safe. How do we combat that? You know, that is a very tricky situation right now in this dispensation of time with everything we know. How do we combat that with these young people that are not bad boys per se or bad girls, but just doing it to protect themselves?
Can I answer? Oh, you know, Judge, I'm so glad to hear you give your husband. And he's tearing up the roster. They said he got to keep the fire department around when he keeps people talking. Y'all got to keep Brother Eddie, the fire chief, because Brother Chief setting that roster on fire. But
yes,
nevertheless, Judge, I love you both. I thank Allah.
Love you
and
too,
I've watched
yes,
you
sir.
All come up and how you moved up the ranks from a great lawyer to now. But let me try to answer your question, Judge, because you do have a very difficult job. But there's an article that came out some years ago where a lady asked this young man a question because he was talking about the stiff mandatory gun law. And back in the day, you know, you got caught with a gun. It was a mandatory 1 year. Mandatory. So the lady was asking, the news reporter was asking the young man, said, aren't you concerned about if you get caught with a gun, you get a mandatory 1 year? He said, listen, ma'am, I would rather be caught with one than to be caught without one. So to say what you say, absolutely right. Guns have become the means of protection. Now, other people use it for other reasons, but basically, they are not safe. Now, how do we deal with that? I know, Judge, you see a lot of gun charges, but in our community, we're not talking to the NRA and talking about coming up with restricted gun laws because most of the guns in our community are illegal guns.
That's right.
So the question we ask, how do you get illegal guns out of our community? The gun of weapons of choice, you know this, Judge, is a handgun. It's not an AR, whatever they call them, 520s and all that. It's not a soft weapon.
That's right.
The weapon of choice in the black community is handguns, these new ghost guns. So when you hear about them talk, we need to make sure we need to ban the fire. You ain't talking to the black community. That ain't what our problem is. You don't see no brother walking around with an assault weapon.
That's
so
right.
So what we have is a difference. You cannot take a two-legged man's solution to a one-legged man's problem. Our problem is very unique. But here's my suggestion. We may not be able to get all the guns off the street, and we got. What we will be able to do, we have to come up with ways that will help you, Judge, that if any of these young people come across your desk, come across your court, that you can give them what we call, Judge, an alternative to incarceration. You have the choice to say if the problem is not so severe to send them away, but it's not so light that you'd want to send them home, you can say, listen, if the prosecutor says, I would like to remand you to the care of the people. I'm giving you 30 days, young man, to join the peacekeepers and then take that same man that was running rough on that morning. Now we're going to put him on the court, Judge, as a peacekeeper. So all his same bank of friends can see. Oh, we got the boy. And he's going to tell him when he come over. Hey, man, don't come over here with that man. You messing with my job, man. I go back to jail. But the point of
yes, sir.
Is, give us a chance to reform them. Give us a chance. And if we can't do nothing with them, Judge, we turn them back over to you in 60 days. Well, did you do anything with that? No, this dude's in court, Judge. I think you got to go ahead and we got to remand him back here. All right. Thank you, Captain. At least we tried. That's what we have to do. We can't keep
That's
doing
right.
anybody to jail. So the peacekeepers, the nation of Islam, now they're going to have a problem with us turning over to your husband. Well, you know, it's religion. You know, well, all right. But we're going to have to turn him into a DJ. We're going to turn him into a DJ that day. We're going to turn him over to DJ. So, you know, DJ Isolam.
Yes, sir, brother.
But the bottom line is, I love the fact we're working with you, Judge. And to my attorney,
that's right.
We want every one of y'all to move up in the political arena. Muslims, we do want you to do
that.
Sir. You give
that's
us
right.
more power to shoot through you. Come on. I'm so happy, Judge. I can't wait.
Yes,
I'm coming back to New York soon. I'm going to spend some time in Mount Vernon. But, you know, I had a strong chapter in Mount Vernon.
Yes.
You know?
Yes,
but
you
them
did.
Big wolves,
yes, sir.
Them big wolves broke out and rebelled. But that's okay.
Thank you.
We
get it
back.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
It's a beautiful, beautiful community. And you know what makes it more beautiful? You and your husband. Thank you, Judge.
Yes, sir.
She's so beautiful.
Thank
you
so much to the panel. Love
you.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Love you.
Appreciate all the panelists tonight.
And usually Sister Nichelle's on with us every week. So, Sister Nichelle, we're looking forward to hearing you again real, real soon, okay? All right.
Yes,
thank
yes,
you, ma'am.
Thank
love
you.
You.
Love
we're going to take – yes, ma'am. We're going to take this caller, Brother Louis Ali. I think Brother Louis Ali has a comment or a question. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, family. How y'all doing?
Fine, Brother Lewis. How about yourself, sir? Good to hear from you.
Really good. I'm really enjoying the show. And the scriptures do say, blessed are the peacemakers, yeah?
That's right.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that integration was a sin. And the Bible does teach that the wages of sin are death. But the gift of God is eternal life. We really can't make peace under integration, but we're going to try to do our best, except we repent and atone to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for rejecting him and accepting integration. Now, I'm in the South. I'm in Louisiana and Mississippi. We had a lot safer communities, except for when the Klan would come in to tear our community up under segregation, though I'm not pro-segregation, than what we have today. And I think it's time to start really leaning in on putting the Muslim program before the people in a way that really makes them understand that we will never have peace under integration. It's like we're living at the bottom of a toilet and we're preaching about trying to get the water clean, and the only solution, because people are studied dumping so much toxicity in the black community, when you have black children listening constantly to Salsi Santana and all the rest of the filth and indecency, it's very difficult. It makes Brother Captain Dennis's job real hard. And so I just appreciate the show and the message, Sister Pam. But I really want young people to understand that the white man and his system and his culture is disagreeable to live with in peace, and that we want some land to call our own, and we want to separate from God's enemy. So may Allah bless you. I didn't get to hear the whole show, but I know my brother was on fire when I was listening to sisters.
Yes.
And
yes,
I thank God so much for y'all in these shows. But down south, we want some land. We're land literate, and we want to build a reality to call our own. May Allah
that's
bless
right.
y'all. I feel like it.
Wow, Lincoln. Thank you, Brother Lewis. Yes, sir. So, Brother Captain Emeritus, Brother Dennis, we are down to our last 5 minutes. So we thank you so much for coming on the show. And Sister Kiana, Attorney Kiana, Brother Attorney Deshaun. And if you all have any closing remarks, Brother Dennis, would you like to close us out and with any comments?
Well, first and foremost, I want you to please give my sister the great Dr. Ava, the great lawyer for our nation. The greetings. She's
yes.
Columbus. You know, she's from Columbus. We're going to claim her. We're going to claim her. You know, all great things come out of Columbus. Go claim her. Please give her greetings for me. And one of our great attorneys as well, Sister Kiana, we'd like to thank you. Continue to be the great lawyer that God is blessing you to be. Brother Deshaun, brother, you got my number. I mean, anything of anybody's, keep doing what you're doing. And whatever we could do to get you in that office, you need the backing of the believers, the physicians. You know, hey, man, we want to see you in that office. Thank you, Sister Pamela, for giving this great opportunity to share my, and you can see I'm very passionate about what I do. I'm hoping that everybody, if you want to be interested in the work that I'm doing, they have my website. It's thepeacekeepers.org. Don't put www, just put thepeacekeepers.org, one word. And and most certainly, you get me on Facebook, social media. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. Hit me up. And if you want to get a shirt, you know, I got a shirt for you. Just tell me what it is and send a little donation. And let me send you your shirt. Sister Pamela, you get an honorary shirt. You just got
to
tell me your size.
Oh, praise the people.
You know,
thank you.
You know, just,
yes, sir.
You get a, matter of fact, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to, Sister Kiana, lawyer, you're going to get you one. And Brother Deshaun, we're going to get you. Give everyone.
Praise.
So give me your
thank
sign and send me your address, and we'll mail it off to you and wear it with great pride. Thank you, sister. May Allah bless you to continue to do the great work. Thank you, radio listening audience who listen to me. My name is Captain Dennis, and I'm present for peace.
Praises be to Allah. Thank you, Brother Captain Dennis. And Brother Deshaun, did you want to make a comment? What do we need to know about what's going on with you?
As I expected when I was asked to be on here, I knew there wasn't very much I could say after Brother Dennis finished, and I was very correct. Brother, I love you. I've always respected you, and you were still the man. I've always known you to be in the Nation of Islam. So I appreciate you, and this work takes every approach. And I thank a lot for you and the work you're doing. I thank Sister for the work that she's doing. And we've all just got to keep fighting. Our website is people4thepeople.com. And we want to save our children. So please support us.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Deshaun. Because as Sister Kiana and I would totally agree with you, it is so important to reach our children at the beginning of them being touched by these systems, these school systems, these suspensions. And so we really support you and your quest to become a juvenile judge, Brother Deshaun. Thank you. And Sister Kiana, you want to say a closing remark? Thank you so much for coming on tonight, and we'll have to get you back on real soon, sister.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me, and to be, of course, on the panel with a legend of Brother Emeritus Captain Dennis. I mean, what do you have to do but sit and learn and listen? And so I am grateful for the opportunity. I've learned so much today. I think we all need the training that the peacekeepers
go through
in every mosque and in every community, and just grateful to be a part of this great Nation of Islam and get these teachings and be able to share them as a MGP in our community to help me and us do the work that we do. We can never thank Allah enough for his coming. And so just very grateful to be a part of the solution and working with brothers like we have on the panel to make our communities decent and safe places to live. So thank you all.
Thank you. And I would like to thank you all for listening to the Elevated Places Network presents A Time for Justice. I would like to thank Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad and the entire Elevated Places team. I do remind you all to listen to Sister Ava's show. That's on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central. That's Ask Dr. Ava at 7 p.m. Central on the Elevated Places
So thank you all once again for listening, and tune in next week for more informative discussions. Thank you all for joining us. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.